So we're holding on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah Rabbi Shmuel Omar Baitan Arba Mitzvahs that Rabbi Shmuel holds that the four tzitzis constitute four mitzvahs. We talked about yesterday a number of nafkaminas between him and the Chachamim who say that it's one mitzvah. So the Gemara says, Amr of Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, Halacha, Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Yehuda tells us in the name of Shmuel that the Halacha is like Rabbi Shmuel with all of those consequences that it would mean. It would mean, for example, that you said that if a person had a linen garment and put tzitzis with tchelos on it, according to the Chachamim, he has to have all four tzitzis that he's doing the mitzvah of tzitzis and not being over on the issur of shatnez. And according to Rabbi Shmuel, you don't need that. We said if the talus has five corners, we said if a person goes out on Shabbos with a talus that doesn't have the right number of tzitzis, then according to Rabbi Shmuel, he's fine. And according to the Chachamim, he's over on the issur of Shabbos. So now the Gemara is going to talk more about this, and we're going to talk more about the consequences of it as far as halacha. However, so the Gemara says, "V'las hilchsakavasei." However, the halacha is not like Rabbi Shmuel; is not like Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Shmuel in that regard. Rather, the halacha is like the Chachamim. So you need all four of them; otherwise, you don't have the mitzvah of tzitzis. So the Gemara tells, "Ravina have a ozel abastre demar b'rav Ashi b'shabbos de rigla." On a Shabbos when they were darshening on Hilchas Regel, so the Shabbos before Yom Tov, the Shabbos before Shabbos Hagadol, before Pesach, or the Shabbos before Sukkot, or whichever Yom Tov it was. So they were walking. So Ravina was walking behind Mar b'rav Ashi because Mar b'rav Ashi was the Rosh Hashiva and Ravina was a Talmud. If it counted the chute. A corner of the talus of Mar b'rav Ashi together with the talus got ripped off of the garment. So now Mar b'rav Ashi is walking around with a garment that doesn't have the proper number of tzitzis on it. Ravina didn't say anything to Mar b'rav Ashi that his tzitzis have gotten ripped. Basically, because as we're going to go on to say, in other words, that it's an issue only d'rabbanan, and he didn't want to force Mar b'rav Ashi to have to take off the talus in the street. Kad matzal beisay, when Mar b'rav Ashi got home, Amar beisay, Ravina tells him, "Ehosim ifsik at such and such a point. While we were walking, a corner of your talus was ripped off." So Mar b'rav Ashi said, "Amat li mehosim, if you had told me already then, should this say I would have thrown it right off." Because, in other words, I was over on an Isser Chatos, because now I was carrying around a talus that doesn't have the right number of tzitzis on it. So I don't care that it would have been a lack of dignity for me, I would have taken off. So the Gemara asks, why? Don't we say in other places in Chas that human honor is great because it overrides a loisessa in the Torah? So that being the case, then on the face of it, he should have had to take it off because he shouldn't have had to take it off. What is he saying? If I had known then, I would have taken it off then. We said kavod abrius shouldn't require him to do that. The answer is it doesn't apply to all loisa, says Shiva Turgam. Tirgama, Rad Bar Shaba, Kamedi Rav Kahana, Rad Bar Shaba explained it in front of Rav Kahana that what it means is specifically the lav de loy tosser. It means the lav when the Torah tells us don't go away, don't veer from anything the Chachamim tell you. Meaning, in other words, that's where the Torah tells us that you have a mitzvah to listen to what the Chachamim say and not to disobey them. So Rashi brings an example. Let's say, so you have normally stones on Mukta, Midrabanan. However, the Chachamim allow you back then when they didn't have toilet paper and they would use stones to wipe themselves after going to the bathroom, then you're allowed to move such stones and bring them into a Besakise because of Kavod Abrius. So things like that, where it's only an Issur D'Rabbanan, then we override it because of Kavod Abrius. But here we're talking about an Issur D'Oraisa, like to carry something on Shabbos, then in fact, Mar b'rav Ashi would not have been able to do it, and in fact he would have taken it off had he known at the time. So Ravina didn't tell him Taka because basically, so there's an explanation, because by not telling him, he's making it that it's misasik, like he's doing it without even knowing. So it's not also minat Torah, so it's only midrabanan, but again, midrabanan, then it will be allowed because of kavod abrius. So in other words, by not telling him, Ravina downgrades that issur d'oraisa to an issur d'rabanan, because now it's misasik, because now it's like he's doing it without knowing. Meanwhile, Mar b'rav Ashi says, if I had known at the time, then it wouldn't have been misasik anymore, then it would have been a knowing thing, and then it would have been an issur d'oraisa. Okay. Tzidkama says the Ikadam, the others have a different version of the story. Mehosam Omale, in fact, Ravina did tell Ma'abra Ravashi right away. The Omale, and Ma'abra Ravashi says, in the second version, my daita, what are you thinking? Lemishriye, that I should throw it off, that I should take off the talus here in the street. Don't we say that kovod abrius, that human dignity is overrides even a lav in the Torah? So that being the case, my dignity should mean that even if the talus is fossil, and even if it would be considered carrying, then it would still be allowed. But the Gemara says, didn't Rav Bar Shaba explain in front of Rav Kahana that says only regarding the lav of Lo Yisoser, but when it comes to a lav d'oraisa, then kovod abrius doesn't matter. And then, as the Gemara phrases it elsewhere, ein chokhma vein eitz vein tivun l'negad Hashem. There's no wisdom or understanding or anything when it comes to Hashem. When it comes to an iser d'oraisa, then yes, even human dignity has to take a back seat to that. So then, in the second version, Ma'abra Ravashi was told right away. And yet Ma'abra Ravashi is not taking off the talus. Why not? The answer is Hochanami Carmelis Dirabonani. Because here we're talking about he wasn't walking in Rosh Hashanah, he was only walking in a Carmelis, and the whole problem of not carrying there was only Dirabonan. So therefore, he's not obligated to take it off. Had it been in Rosh Hashanah, then yes, he would have been obligated to take it off. So in both versions, in other words, he was only Ovan and Issu Dirabanan and Kovod Abrius. Overrides that, the difference is just was it an Issu Dirabanan because he didn't find out until he got home, or was it an Issu Dirabanan because he did find out, but it was in a Carmelis. Either way, the point of this is that none of this would apply if the halacha was like Rabbi Shmuel, like Rabbi Yehuda had said in the name of Shmuel, and therefore the Gemara first brought that point, that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda in that regard, and therefore because of that, that's what drives the story that now Ma'abra Ravashi's talus is in fact possible with only three tzitzis on it, and then you have the whole rest of the story that results from that. Hadron halacha comments. So now, even though we're beginning a new perek, we're still going to be basically on the same topic. We're still continuing with the topic of tzitzis. The difference is, in the middle of the previous perek, we had started talking about, when it comes to a korban mincha, that the various components of the mincha are the act of one another. You need to have the entire isara, no less, the entire lug of oil, no less. You have to have the flour and the oil and the levina, et cetera, et cetera. And then that led us into the point that there are other mitzvahs like that also, where there are things that are interdependent, and if one of them is missing, then the whole thing is no good. So we mentioned about the mezuzah and tefillin, that if one letter in them is missing, or even a detail in a letter, the fact that it has to be mukaf gvil, then it's possible, and that led us into the whole discussion about mezuzahs and tefillin, and then we said it's tzitzis as well, that the four tzitzis are on the act of one another, according to the Chachamim. Now we're going to continue. On the other hand, our perek is going to start with things that are not the act of one another, where you have different components of a mitzvah, that nevertheless, each one is considered its own independent thing, and therefore, if you have one and you don't have the other, then you still go to the mitzvah. Eventually, so we're going to start with that insofar as tzitzis. As far as when it comes to tzitzis, you have to have all four of them, as we just said, according to the Chachamim. However, we're going to talk about white strings versus chelas, where you don't have to have both of them, as we're now going to learn in the Mishnah and in the Gemara. And eventually, that's going to get us back later in the perek. Once we finish the dinim of tzitzis, then we're going to get back later in the perek to other cases involving korbanos, where one part is not in the act of another, where it's possible to have only one part without having the whole thing, and then by that we're going to get back into menachos and to the various other types of korban mincha that we haven't focused on yet. So the Mishnah says, "Hatchelas ainim akeves as alavan." The tchelas strings in the tzitzis are not the act of the white one. There is a mitzvah to put tchelas and to put white. And when we say white, by the way, what we really mean is, as we're going to see in the Gemara, as Rashi explains, most talisos, most garments are white. So therefore, so the strings are supposed to match the garment, therefore they should be white. If the garment is colored, then what we call the white strings would actually have to be colored as well, as we'll learn as we go through the next few dafim. So you're supposed to have those, and you're also supposed to have tchelas, but nevertheless, the tchelas does not prevent the white, meaning, in other words, if you made all the strings white, then the tzitzis will be kosher. With this Machlokas, we've shown him how many Tchela strings you're supposed to have anyway. The fact that we don't have Tchela, as we're going to see in the Gemara in the next couple of Dafim, you have the Tchela has to be made from the blood of a creature called the Chilazon, and there came a point when the identity of that creature was lost and forgotten, and they were no longer able to make Tchela. Some 140 years ago, there was a Rav, the Radziner Rebbe, the Gershon Lehner, who did some research on this and concluded, and then came to a conclusion that a certain type of creature, the cuttlefish, that its blood is what Tchelus is made from, and they sent it around to people. Some Rabbanim agreed with it, and many did not, including his son wrote to the Rebbe Rashab about it, and the Rebbe Rashab replied back with a letter explaining various reasons why we shouldn't accept it. In any case, over the 100 odd years after that, they pointed out certain other flaws with his identification. Eventually, different people identified two other possible marine creatures as being the Chilazon, as being the source of the Tchelas, and you have, there are various groups that put strings on their tzitzis. The majority of Frum Jews don't. Anyway, so we're saying that you have only white strings, then you still yotze the mitzvah as long as you have the proper number of strings. So it's a machlokas we've shown him how many tchelas strings you're supposed to have. Rashi and Tosfos say over here you're supposed to have, given that you have, the tzitzis are composed of four strings that are doubled over to make eight, then you should have two of those long strings will be dyed tchelas, and two of them will be left the natural white color. So you'll have, in other words, altogether, when you make the tzitzis, you'll have, or when you double the strings, you'll have four white, you'll have four, of the eight hanging strings, you'll have four white and four tchelas. That's how Rashi and Tosfos learn. The Ravid learns that one whole string is dyed, that only one whole string is dyed tchelas. So according to him, when you finish, you have six white and two tchelas. And the Rambam holds that you dye the tchelas only half of one string. So according to him, you come out at the end, you have one white, one blue, one tchelas and seven white. In any case, so now we're saying when we don't have tchelas, then it's not ma'akev, and you can make the tzitzis out of all white. Tosfos has a long discussion saying that it doesn't mean that if you have less than four strings, you're going to be yotzi. You still have to have all four. You still do have to have all four strings. Just you don't have to have that half or one or two of them, according to the different opinions, is dyed tchelas. And Tosfos gets into a long discussion about this point about how many strings that we're going to learn in the Gemara, how many strings there are according to different opinions. This is one of those rare cases we're going to see where the halacha is like the Shammai. They're the ones who hold you need four strings. The Silver Hoyle holds you need only three, as we'll get to in the Gemara eventually. But in any case, Tosfos has a long discussion of whether it's possible to have less than four of them, or whether it's possible to have more than four and still be yotze the mitzvah. So the Mishnah says the tchelas is not ma'akev the white. If you don't have tchelas, then you still have all white strings. Va'alavan ain't ma'akev as a tchelas, and the white is not ma'akev the tchelas, which on the face of it means if you put four tchelas strings on the beged, then you're yotze. Although we'll see in the Gemara details about that. Similarly, another example where things are not ma'akev one another, tefillah shol yad ainim ma'akeves as shol rosh, v'shol rosh ainim ma'akeves as shol yad. The tefillah shol rosh and shol yad are the tefillah shol yad and shol rosh are not ma'akev one another. We said that there's within the tefillin themselves, you have to have all the details correct. Every letter has to be perfectly formed, and it's surrounded by blank parchment and all the other details that we learned the last few days about tefillin. But when it comes to the separate, you have tefillin shor yad and tefillin shor rosh, each one of them is an independent mitzvah, and one is not ma'ak of another. The Rambam, by the way, points out in the Shoshim of Sefer HaMitzvahs, on the one hand, though, on the one hand, we're saying that tefillin count as two separate mitzvahs, and in fact, the Rambam lists them as two separate mitzvahs among the 613, as opposed to tzitzis, that Rambam counts as only one mitzvah, even though we're saying over here, tchelas and white are not ma'akev one another. And the Rambam explains, why is that? Shouldn't we say that anytime two things are not ma'akev, they're separate mitzvahs? And he explains, because as we'll see from the discussion in the Gemara, even though they're not ma'akev one another, nevertheless, it's still considered one unit. It's one unit that's supposed to be tzitzis. Within that, you're supposed to have some of the strings are tchelas when tchelas is available. But that doesn't make them two separate mitzvahs, as opposed to it is perfectly possible to put on the shoyad, the tefillin shoyad, without the shorosh, or vice versa, and you are in fact mekayim one individual mitzvah with that. So the Gemara says, Lema masnissin deloike Rebbe. Would we have to say that our Mishnah is not like Rebbe? The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, The pasuk says about tzitzit, u'isem oisoi, you should see it. And it means that it's one mitzvah. Malamach ma'akvin zeh. That means it's all components of one mitzvah, and all the components are ma'ak of one another. So if either of them is missing, then you're not yotzei. Divrei Rebbe. That's what Rebbe says. V'cham paimin ein ma'akvin, and the chum say that they're not ma'ak of one another. So it sounds like our Mishnah is not like Rebbe, because how can our Mishnah say that tchelas and white strings are not ma'ak of one another, when according to Rebbe, they are ma'ak of one another? So the Gemara says, my time at the Rebbe. So first let's explain Rebbe's reasoning, and then we'll explain. So what is Rebbe's reasoning? Why does Rebbe say? It says a re'isam oisai, but why is that a reason for, where oisai could equally well mean one thing that has two different subcomponents in it, neither of which is ma'ak of one another. So why does Rebbe insist that they're ma'ak of one another? So the reason is dichtiv hakonof, because the pasuk says that you have to put tzitzis on the konof, on the garment. That means min konof. That means you have to do something which is the same type as the corner of the garment. Now that means the white strings, because again, most, as Rashi points out, most garments are white. So that tells you need white strings. Uchtiv psil techeves, and the pasuk continues that you need a thread of blue. So that tells us that you need the two parts. And the pasuk is saying re'isam oisai, you should see it, implying adi ikka tavayu b'chad. So it implies only if you have the two of them, only if you have the two of them together. So in other words, because it has, and actually, by the way, points out tchelas means necessarily dyed wool. The Gemara elsewhere derives it from psukim that tchelas, even though tchelas just means a color on the face of it, it could be any kind of thread that's dyed blue. But the Gemara elsewhere explains it means specifically wool. Anyway, the Torah is telling us that you need min konos, that you need the white strings, and you need still to chelas, and re'isam oisai, and you see it. That means ad ikka tavayu b'chad. So only when you have both of them on the same corner. So in other words, Chidushim HaMiyuchasim LaRashba explains, if it only said in the Torah white and chelas, then fine, that wouldn't tell you that it's ma'akev. But when it says oisai, that means it has to be exactly as it is. And therefore that you need the both of them together. And if not, then it's ma'akin. V'rabbanon, what are the rabbanon answer to that? They say re'isam oisai kochad b'chodei mashma. They say the word just the opposite. The word re'isam oisai implies each one by itself. Oisai, you should see it. So, fine. You should have both of them, but nevertheless, if you only have one, then you're still yosef. Okay, so now that we established what the basis of the machlokas is, lema d'loike Rebbe, would we have to say then that the Mishnah is not like Rebbe? And in general, a stam Mishnah we would use it for, I mean, Rebbe himself compiled the Mishnah, but fine, that's not such a problem. Sometimes we do find Mishnayos which go against Rebbe himself, because Rebbe, for the most part, compiled the Mishnayos that already existed in his times. But in general, a stam Mishnah is something that should be according to the opinion of all the Chachamim. Especially because the core of the Mishnah that includes such things goes back long before Rebbe's generations. So would we have to say, though, that our Mishnah does not go like Rebbe? So the Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, Afilu Teimer Rebbe. No, you could even say that it does go according to Rebbe. Lo Nitzucha Ela L'Kadim. When our Mishnah says they're not ma'akev, this means putting one before the other. Now, what's supposed to be is you're supposed to do the white first, because first you have it in that order in the pasuk. First you're supposed to do v'nosan al tzitzis hakonof, which we just said hakonof means min konof, means the type of thread and the type of and the color of thread. That is the min of the corner. So he's supposed to do the white first and then do the tchelas. We learn in a brisa, mitzvah lahakdim lavan l'tchelas, you are supposed to do the white before the tchelas, v'im hiktim tchelas l'lavan yotza, if you did the tchelas ahead of the white yotza, then you are yotza ela shachisa mitzvah, but you're lacking the full fulfillment of the mitzvah. So Tosfos wonders why should that be? I mean, only by Kodshim do we see that things have to be repeated in order to be ma'aktiv. Otherwise, generally, the details of a mitzvah are ma'aktiv even without the Torah repeating it. So why wouldn't it be over here? So that's what so Tosfos says that. In general, the Torah wants in a mitzvah that you should have to do certain things, but it doesn't usually care about the Seder unless otherwise specified. Here, the Seder is hinted at, but nevertheless, it's not hinting that it should be ma'atir. What do we actually mean by doing the white before the tchelas, or doing the tchelas before the white? So one explanation means to actually, so Shittub Kobetis quotes Rashi, which we don't have in front of us in Rashi over here. It would mean that actually when you're putting the threads into the corner, you should first stick in the white threads and then stick in the tchelas threads. But then Shittub Kobetis goes on to bring from a collection of Tosfos, which is again not in front of us over here. So what does that mean exactly? I mean, how is that a seder for the mitzvah? Just because you're putting them in, ultimately you're not really making the tzitzis until you actually tie them and wind them and do all that. Besides, later on, once the tzitzis are made, nobody's going to know which strings were put in first. So instead that collection of Tosfos explains, it means that when you're like this, you're going to be doing the windings. We're going to talk further on in the paragraph about the windings that you have to do with one of the strings around the other ones. When you have white and tchelas strings, which one do you use for the windings first? Now we're going to learn later in the paragraph that you're supposed to put one winding of white first because of this pasuk, that it should be min hakonaf, that it should be your the garment itself. Again, by default, the garment is white. Therefore, the first winding should be white. After that, you'll continue with blue windings, as we're going to see later in the parak. So what we're saying is that is the proper way to do it. That if he did tchelas before white, if he did the first winding of tchelas, then we're saying, according to that explanation, yotze, then he is yotze elash chisur mitzvah, but he's lacking the full fulfillment of the mitzvah. And as we'll see later in the parak, this is not just according to Rebbe, this is going to be according to the Chachamim as well. Well, the Gemara asks, my chisur mitzvah, what do you mean by that phrase, he's lacking the mitzvah? Ilem chisur mitzvah, the love and rakiya mitzvah, the tchelas, do you mean that he's lacking, that by doing that, he hasn't done the mitzvah of the white threads at all? It's as if he didn't put them, because he didn't put them first, or he didn't wind them first, the rakiya mitzvah, the tchelas, but he did fulfill the mitzvah of tchelas. Still, that l'Rebbe equivalent to ma'akav adori. We just set a point to Rebbe, the two things on the act of one another. So it can't be that that's what it can't be. That's what the Braisa means. Omer of Yehuda Omer Rab, shechisa mitzvah ve'osam mitzvah. What it means is elo shechisa mitzvah. He is lacking in the mitzvah. However, he did do a mitzvah. He is yotze the mitzvah of lavan and tchelas together, which according to Rebbe constitutes one interdependent and indispensable mitzvah that you can't have one without the other. So he did do the mitzvah. Even according to Rebbe, he is yotze if he put in the blue threads first, or if he wound the blue threads first. But my chisur mitzvah. But what do we mean when we say chisur mitzvah? He's lacking a mitzvah. It means like oven mitzvah and a mocher. It just means he didn't do the mitzvah in the best possible way. Because the best way would have been to put the white strings in first, or to wind the white string first. So that braisa would work according to both Rebbe and the Chachamim, and our Mishnah as well. When our Mishnah says hatchelas enema akevus v'alavan, it doesn't mean if you're missing the tchelas strings, then you're still good with only white strings, or vice versa. According to Rebbe, that would not be the case. Rebbe would understand our Mishnah to say that if you like in the braisa, that if you did both tchelas and white, if you did them out of order, then they're not ma'akev one another. So the Gemara says, "Hatenach loven de'en ma'akav esatchelas." Fine, it's easy to understand what it means that white is not ma'akav tchelas. But when the Mishnah says tchelas de'en ma'akav esatchelas, ma'ihi, what do we mean that tchelas is not ma'akav the white? If we're saying, if you're explaining now that our Mishnah is even according to Rebbe, and you're telling me that Rebbe would understand the Mishnah to be saying that one is not, that putting them in the wrong order is not ma'akev one another, well then what do we mean? That tchelas ain't ma'akev is a lovan. Ma'ihi, what would that mean? According to Rebbe, according to everybody, we're saying the mitzvah is to do white first. So what do you mean the tchelas is not ma'akev the white? according to the Chachamim, fine. What it means is, in other words, even if you're missing tchelas threads, you do not have available tchelas threads at all. You put white threads, and that's that. But according to Rebbe, we're saying you must have white threads and you must have tchelas threads. And the only thing Rebbe is saying is not ma'akev is the order. So what do we mean by saying tchelas is not ma'akev white? Where is there to be ma'akev? At the point you're doing white, you haven't yet done any. You haven't yet done tchelas. You haven't put in the tchelas strings yet. You haven't wound the you haven't wound any. You haven't wound anything yet. So of course then you do the white first. And the answer is Amar Rami Bahama, Lo Nitzuchelo Talos Shakula Tchelas. The Mishnah, when it says that the Tchelas is not Ma'akev the white, what it means is when you have a talus that's entirely made out of Tchelas threads. So then, till now, we were saying you should put the white strings first. But that's because min hakonaf, that's because you want to have the same type as the corner of the garment. But now that the talus is all made out of tchelas, as famously, of course, Korach and his group went to Moshe with talisis shikula tchelas, they were arguing they shouldn't require tzitzis at all. That's, of course, incorrect. They do require tzitzis, but the tzitzis with them, the Gemara is saying, now are going to be made a little differently than the usual. The whole idea is you want min hakonaf, you want something which is going to resemble the corner of the garment. Well, if the garment is made entirely out of tchelas, then the first strings you put in, or the first windings that you do, should indeed be of the tchelas threads. The Chiddushim HaMilchasim LaRashba discusses this a little bit and says that when you have a talus full of tchelas, what you would actually do is so you would in fact put white threads in as well. But nevertheless, we're saying now that you would put in the tchelas threads first because the garment itself is all tchelas. So then, fine, Rebbe would understand our Mishnah that way. When you have a talus shekula tchelas and you put in the white thread first, doesn't matter. You still yotze even though you should have done the tchelas first. And vice versa, with a regular white talus, if you put a love on enema akavas a tchelas, if you put in. If you put in the tchelas first in a regular white garment, then you still yotze even though you should have put in the white first. So Rebbe would understand the Mishnah that way, and therefore it doesn't contradict him. So the Gemara says Ichma Nami. It was explained also in the Beis Medrash that the Mishnah is not necessarily talking about whether missing threads is apostles with tzitzis, but rather the Mishnah is talking about the order of putting it in. Namely, in the Beis Medrash they said Omale Levi b'Shmuel. Levi asked Shmuel, Aryeh. Aryeh is a lashon of a king. Rashi explains that it's related to the word Aryeh as in a lion, like Gur Aryeh Yehuda. Shmuel was tremendously expert, was one of the greatest Lamedoyim, and in particular, Rashi points out that he was an expert in Dinei Mominus, and in fact, the halacha is generally like him in Dinei Mominus. So he's calling Shmuel a king out of respect. There are different other explanations of why he nicknames Shmuel Aryeh. Rashi himself gives different explanations in different other places in Shas of where this title Aryeh comes from. One explanation is you have one of the kings mentioned in Chumash Bereishis, one of the four kings who fought against Zoyim, is called Aryeh Melech El-Osar. And the name Aryeh comes from there, and it means, in other words, El-Osar is related to the word Isser, and it means, in other words, it represents that Shmuel is not the ruler, is not the one who the halacha is like in Dine Isser Veheter, El-Osar, but he is in Dine Mominus. So in any case, the point is that he uses that elsewhere also Rashi points out the word Aryeh itself is related to a word for a king. It's related to the word Richa, which is a rare word in Aramaic for a king. So there's a few different explanations in Rishonim why he called him Aryeh. In any case, Levi says that to him. He says, Loi Tesev Akarach, don't sit down. Don't sit down. Literally, Loi Tesev Akarach means don't sit down on your legs. So either it can mean because they used to sit cross-legged back then, or because he means, in other words, don't sit down, but rather remain standing on your feet. Until you explain me the following point. Now, so we see from this, by the way, that Levi was a Rebbe of Shmuel. If he's not Shmuel's teacher, he wouldn't have the ability to talk to him like that and to tell him don't sit down, tell me this first. So we see therefore that Levi was one of Shmuel's rebellion. In fact, the Rambam in his introduction to Yad HaChazaka mentions, when he discusses which Chachamim learned from which ones, he mentions in that connection that Shmuel learned from Reb Chanina, from Reb Chanina, and the Ravid adds over there that he also learned from Levi. So Levi tells him, so don't sit down until you explain me this point. When the Mishnah says that Tchelus Enim Akevus is Alavan, while Alavan Enim Akevus is Tchelus, Ma'ihi, what does the Mishnah mean? Does it mean, in other words, that if you're missing some of the strings, or that if you have the proper, as we discussed on Amud Aleph, that according to the Chachamim, it would mean as long as you have the proper number of strings, but you don't have the right colors, then you're Yotze. But evidently, Levi doesn't want to learn the Mishnah that way. Levi wants to learn the Mishnah like Rebbe. So explain to me how we would explain this Mishnah according to Rebbe. Amalei, so Shmuel answers him, Leimitzucha el al sodin betzitzis. What we need it for is the case of when a person has a linen garment, or when a person has a linen garment which is undyed and is white, or the same thing would apply to any other white garment. The mitzvah lot, Rumi, Lovan, Beresha, so then, as we just said, you're supposed to put the white strings first. My time, Akonaf, min Konaf, because because when it says Akonaf, means that the first thread should be similar to the species of the Konaf. It should be white threads. And then, the Actum Tchelas, the Lovan, Lassanba, but Shmuel says what the Mishnah means is if you did Tchelas before white, then there's no problem with it, and it's not ma'akiv. So then Levi continues and asks him, Tainach Lovan de Enimakavas of Tchelas. Okay, that explains what it means. White is not the act of Tchelas. If you put Tchelas first, then there's still Yotze. Tchelas de Enimakavas is a Lovan Maihi, but what do you mean Tchelas is not the act of white? You're supposed to put the white first. And the answer is, maybe Levi is not asking this to Shmuel. A later generation of Amoraim explains this point. So Amalei Rami Bahama, so Rami Bahama says, Levi, take out, not really Levi's, Rami Bahama is a few generations later. So Rami Bahama answers, like we said before, the Mishnah is only coming to tell us the case when a talus is entirely made out of tchelas threads, the mitzvah lak drumi tchelas vereisha, then the mitzvah is to put the tchelas first, hakonaf min konaf, because you're supposed to put something similar to what the corner of the garment is made out of, the iactum lovan bredesha, less lumba, but if you put the white threads first, then there's no problem. So the Mishnah is not at all talking about not having white threads or not having tchelas threads. Rather, the Mishnah is talking about having both, but putting them in the wrong order. Now, the interesting point is, why doesn't Levi, when Levi asks Shmuel this, why isn't he just accept? Fine, the Mishnah is not like Rebbe. The Mishnah is according to Chachamim, and it means that if you only have one type of thread, then you just do that one. The Baal HaMor actually says that indicates the halacha is in fact like Rebbe. Because otherwise, why would the Amoraim be going to such trouble to explain the Mishnah according to him? Which means, according to the Baal HaMor, If you don't have tchelas threads, then according to him, you don't have the mitzvah of tzitzis at all. On the other hand, most Rishonim disagree with that, and say the halacha is like the Chachamim, Rebbe after all, composed the Mishnayos, and therefore we would prefer to say that any Sam Mishnah is according to him, especially like we were saying before, any Sam Mishnah in general should reflect the opinion of all the Chachamim, but it doesn't mean that the halacha should be like Rebbe. In fact, the halacha is like the Chachamim, and even if you don't have, so even if you don't have tchelas strings, then still you still do what you have, and you still use what you have, and therefore nowadays we would put only white strings only because that's all that we have available because we don't have tchelas. Okay. So the Gemara goes on now. Okay, so Rami Bar Chama has just said. So Rami Bar Chama has just said that you're supposed to put whichever color the talus is, you're supposed to put that first. So if it's a white talus, then you put white threads first, and if it's a blue talus, then you put blue threads first. So the Gemara says, so Omar Rava, but Rava objects to that. Midi Ksiva Kagorim. What do you mean? Is the color the primary factor? Even if it is a talus or kol ha-treles, you should still be putting the white first. Most talisim, after all, are white. So the Torah is telling you that it's hakonof and then it's a treles, implying that you should always have it in that order. First hakonof, meaning what is usually the color of the konof, which is typically going to be white, and then you'll put treles. So even if the garment itself happens to be all treles, why should we be varying it and saying that you should put the trailers first? Rava argues it shouldn't be that way. So we have to explain the Mishnah differently, says Rava. Ella Amar Rava. So Rava says we're not talking about the order of putting in the threads. The white is always going to be come before the trailers, so therefore it's meaningless to say after trailers and ma kevas halavan. What does the Mishnah mean? What the Mishnah means is as far as if some of the threads have gotten broken. So to begin with, according to Rebbe, you do in fact have to put both of them. You can't just put white without trelis, or trelis without white. And the Yotze says Rebbe. And our Mishnah is, and we want our Mishnah to follow Rebbe as well. And therefore we're saying that you do have to put both of them. But if they got ripped, the e gaudim trelis the koy lavan, if the white threads were ripped, the koi lovan, but the white ones are still intact, the e gaudam lovan, the koi trelas, or the white ones were ripped and the trelas are still intact, less than bad, then there's no problem with it. And how do we know that? The Ami b'nei Reb Chiya, because the sons of Reb Chiya, their names were Yehuda and Chizkiya, said, They said gadume trelas kerin, the leftover of trelas, and the same thing with the white. Here, Tosfos points out that sometimes the Gemara uses the word trelas to mean in general the tzitzis. So it means not just the blue thread, but also the white thread. So gadume trelas kerin, the broken off pieces of trelas are still kosher, provided that you have a certain length left of it. As we're going to now start talking about in the Gemara. Similarly, say the sons of Reb Chiya, Gardume Ezev Kherim, similarly, if all you have left over is broken off pieces of Ezev, then it's still kosher to sprinkle paradum or water. So to begin with, you start with Ezev, you're supposed to have a bundle of three branches of Ezev to sprinkle with, but now, if afterwards you use them over and over to sprinkle paradum water with, and after a while the branches broke off and all you have is a little bit left of the branches, nevertheless it's still kosher. So we see in other words that broken off tzitzis are still kosher, and therefore that's what the Mishnah means, that even if you're missing one but you have the other, then it's still kosher. Now, you have a machlokas rishonim within that. How much exactly has to be left? Tosfos over here has a discussion on the subject that you have to have one complete min is intact. Meaning, in other words, so if you have, following the opinion of Rashi and Tosfos, that you have two white and that you have two out of the four strings, out of the original four strings, you have two white and two trelas. So when you fold them over, you have four and four. Then it would mean, in other words, that, As long as you have all the white threads are intact, or all the trailer threads are intact, then you're good. So then Tosfos goes on to say that nowadays, when you don't have trailers, then you have to have two complete threads intact. So that's one opinion. Then Tosfos goes on to bring that to the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. Then the Re in Tosfos brings, and a number of Rishonim go on to bring him, that no, even as long as you have two threads intact, And a point in the Chachamim, even if all the threads are ripped, as long as you have the amount that the Gemara is now going to say, Kedei Aniva, the amount that you could make, that you can make a slip knot with, as we'll talk about in a moment, then it will still be kosher. So it comes out, in other words, according to Rabbeinu Tam, where this is Negea for us nowadays. If strings of tzitzis rip, if you have one of the eight strings rips, then it's not necessarily a problem, because then you still have, then you said, then it's only one side of one. But when you have two of them were ripped, then you have a concern, because if one should have been a tam, it's kosher only if so if you have two of them ripped, then you have, or if you have three of them ripped, actually, then you have a question, because then you don't know if there's any two threads of the original four that are completely intact. Whereas according to the Reed, it wouldn't be a problem unless you have, unless you have more than them ripped.
It's not very clear. What does that mean?
Well, in other words, so according to Rabbeinu Tam, so here, in other words, let's summarize as follows. The Alter Rebbe summarizes it in Hilchos Tzitzis as follows, summarizing the different opinions on the subject. If the tzitzis are supposed to be a minimum length, as we're going to learn in the Gemara. Suppose, for example, that from every one of the original four strings, all you have left. Well, you know what? Let's learn what the Gemara says about the size of the minimum size of the strings, and then we can talk about the practical halachas that come from this. So let's learn a few more lines first. So the kamashir gadrumin, what is the amount of the leftover of the tzitzis that is still going to be kosher? It will be when you have enough of a length left of them to be able to make a knot of them. And aniva actually is a slip knot. So the Chachamim had a question. What do you mean? Kedela anvan ma'anvan kulu bahadadi? Does it mean that you have enough left of the length of the strings to be able to make to tie them all together? Or maybe each one individually by itself? And the Gemara says teku. We're not sure about that. So we'll talk about soon what practical halachas come out of this. And first, the Gemara says.
Leanvan is plural, isn't it?
Yes, but does it mean to make one slip knot from any individual string? In other words, when we're saying you have strings of tzitzis, and you have leanvan, when you have enough of any individual of one of those strings for kedei aniva, then you're good, or does it mean that you have to be able to do them all together?
You have to do all of them together.
Well,
that's why
on,
it says leanvan.
Hold on. So let's see. So one more thing. First, though, Boy Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi asked the question, Alimi Dilema Anvi, what if the strings are so thick that therefore you can't make knots in them, so you have a Ktini Anvi? But if you have the same length of thinner strings, then it would be possible. My, what would be the din? So Rav Acha Brei D'Rava says to Rav Ashi, that's certainly not a problem. Kosher in the Mincha Mitzvah Sire, all the more so they're kosher in that case, because then the mitzvah is even more noticeable. Because you have the proper length, so we don't care whether with these particular strings it's possible to make a knot, because what we really care about is just that they should have a certain minimum length. So you have a lot of this. First of all, Tosfos brings up the question, do we mean from the origin of the strings where they're first tied onto the garment, that you only need kedei aniva from there, or does it mean you need kedei aniva of the hanging strings? So you have different understandings about that as well. So first of all, you have that question. Second of all, yeah, when we say Kedela Anvan, the question is, so the Shittim Kubetes over here, learns in Rashi that when we say La Anvan would mean that whether you're able to make a knot of all eight threads together. Or would it be that you can do each one individually by itself? The Beis Yosef has a different understanding. It means, in other words, that each individual thread should be long enough to be able to wind around and tie all of the to wind around and tie around all the other threads. So you have different understandings and different opinions, and then different opinions about what the Gemara means about that. And then the Mordechai says that maybe it just means that you only need that your the Mordechai brings that maybe it just means that it has to be long enough to be able to wind around to make a slip knot around one other thread. So you're according to the Mordechai, it would be very interesting.
Why can't we say that it means to do the knots as they were done in the first portion of the tzitzis?
Well, because first of all, that wouldn't be called aniva. Aniva means a slip knot. Aniva means a slip knot.
A slip knot?
A slip knot, like the kind where you a slip knot where you can pull on one end of it and then, or like a slip knot or a bow tie or something like that, where you can pull on one end of it and the whole thing comes apart. A regular knot is called a kesher. So the fact that the Gemara is using the word aniva, la anvon, implies we're talking about a different kind of knot.
Uh-huh.
So you have quite a lot of different opinions among Rishonim what the Gemara means by all of this. So here's how the Alter Rebbe summarizes it in Shulchan Aruch. If you have from each of the eight threads you have enough kedei aniva, which is and we define kedei aniva for this purpose as that you have it's long enough to make a slip knot around any individual thread of the other ones. So then it will be kosher. Yesh oimim that even if you only have that combination across the eight strings, then it would be kosher, but we should be machmir like the first svara. Then the Alter Rebbe goes on to discuss in some detail about how many threads are we talking about that were ripped. If you have, the Alter Rebbe brings an opinion that if four out of the eight are ripped as long and they're all on one side of the knot, and you were careful when you made the tzitzis to make sure that each string, half of it ends up on one side of the knot and half on the other, then it will be kosher because from each of the original four strings you have, the other four ends that are left are long enough, or kedei aniva, and more than that, and therefore you don't have a problem. But then he goes on to say, if they're on two different sides of the knot, or if you're even on one side, but you weren't careful to make sure each time when you make the knot that the sides of one thread remain on the same side, then you have a problem because then you may have a thread which is not long enough from either side. And then he goes on to bring, then the Alter Rebbe goes on to bring another opinion for the Machaber. That you need to have, based on what Tosfos is saying over here, that you need to have two complete threads that are intact, and therefore if you have three strings are ripped, then it's a problem because now you don't have two complete intact one anymore. And even if two of them, are ripped, then sometimes you may have a problem. And the Alter Rebbe goes on. You have in Simon Yud Beis and then in Ur Chaim, the Alter Rebbe goes into all the details about this. Basically, the way that we do it is when you have one out of the eight strings ripped and it's less than kedei aniva, then you're still fine. But if two or more of them are ripped, generally speaking, it's an issue, and you should replace that tzitzis. The amount of kedei aniva itself, there's different opinions about that as well. The Rabbi Avraham Chaim Noah comes out saying that it's a little over an inch and a half. So as long as you have at least that of the tzitzis, and again, as the Gemara is saying over here, it doesn't really matter the actual thickness of the tzitzis strings, but as long as you have that minimum amount of each string, then it's still considered kosher. But if it's any shorter than that, and you have two or more strings ripped, or under certain circumstances, three or more, then you're going to have to replace that. Then you're going to have to replace that tzitzis. Okay. So the Gemara says, Uman Tana de Poligale de Rebbe. Now, so far we've been talking about Rebbe's opinion about whether you need both white and trellis, that according to him you need both. And whereas until now we've just been saying the Chachamim hold you don't need both. Chachamim is a general term. Who are those Chachamim? So the answer is Hai Tana, who is the Tetzatana of the following Braisa. The Tanya Rabbi Yitzchok Oma Mishum Rab Nosan, Shomer Mishum Rabbi Yisagwili, Shomer Mishum Rabbi Yechen Manuri, Emo Tchelas Mata Lovan. If you don't have Tchelas, then you just put white strings because one of them is not ma'akiv the other. So now we can identify. It's Rebbe who says they're ma'akiv one another. Now we know that it goes back to the Yechen Manuri and a chain of Tanoim after him, who say that they're not ma'akiv one another. And if you don't have tchelas, then you make only white and vice versa. We don't have to use. We still have Rava's answer is still valid. That the Mishnah is also telling us about cases when the tzitzis are ripped. But in addition, the Mishnah is also telling us, like the Chachamim, And now we know the Chachamim is Rabbi Yechon and Nuri, and the Chachamim who quote him, that to begin with, if you only have Tchelas, then you don't make, then if you only have Tchelas, then you make only Tchelas, and if you have only white, then you make only white. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, and we'll continue talking about these details of the dinim. We'll continue talking over the next couple of days about these details of the dinim of tzitzis and what you have to do in terms of the numbers of threads and windings and if they're ripped and so on and so forth.